All right. Welcome. This is the time and place for the City Council meeting for the City of Acuna. We'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. And Nathan, would you take the role, please?
Councilmember McPherson?
Here.
Councilmember Biggs?
Here.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item is consideration to amend the agenda.
Make a motion that we approve the consideration to amend the agenda, adding item 7B.
Second.
Motion's been seconded to add item 7B to the agenda. Is any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Next item is a consent agenda.
Good. Make a motion that we approve the consent agenda as published.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is any further discussion on that motion? Nathan, would you poll the council, please?
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That takes us to public comment. I had one person sign up for public comment. Is there anybody else who wishes to address the council that didn't get a chance to sign in? All right. Michael Rocco, you may have the floor, sir.
Mr. Mayor, City Council, historian Saint Simon commented on countries in doubt, stated, "In organic periods, men are busy building. In critical periods, they are busy destroying. I come before you with an aching heart, fiercely fighting off a sense of apathy and helplessness for the quality of life in our small city of 30,000. I left my beautiful rural New Jersey town due to excessive taxation. My property taxes were $12,000 annually, which was actually below the average, of which 95% was allocated to the schools. This lived experience has made me sensitive to school levies. I will say that I met with the school, CUNA School District today and was very educational for me and beneficial. My wife and I moved to the great and free state of Idaho for family proximity, cost of living, and conservative values. Shortly after moving here, I resolved to be an active contributing citizen. I currently serve as the president of my HOA and of the Boise Area Pickleball Association. I've chosen to become familiar with the CUNA Food Bank. I've also been attending the CUNA City Council meetings and planning and zoning meetings for well over a year. It is here in the CUNA City government and its processes involved that has left me feeling overwhelmed. Just last week, the Planning and Zoning Commissioners in a split decision approved annexation for 13 acres across from the high school, of which 5 acres are annexed for R12 high density housing. One commissioner reasoned he had no choice but to approve based on the city comprehensive plan, future land use designation, and various dealing with various agencies like ACHD. In our community, there appears to be a groundswell of frustration and feelings that troubled times have come to our small town. Overcrowded schools, traffic challenges, and serious accidents discourage and frighten people. They feel defeated when they see public information on the website posts the latest budget is 2023. Or under the transparency category, the most current department reports are 2021. I am so grateful for you, Mr. Mayor, and City Council members. I have witnessed you collectively giving of your time to help make CUNA a great city. I am especially grateful for some personal time that each of you have allocated to me to learn and to make me a more informed citizen. I pray that you and your families are blessed for your service. My closing comment is we must do better. Slow the growth and hope that we are not in the critical periods of being busy destroying. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So is there anybody else who wished to address the council? If you want to, I'll have you sign in.
Can you amend that? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just have you sign your name in on the sheet. Wonderful. No need to apologize. It's all fine.
My first meeting. Don't make it your last.
We like company.
I'll be here.
And Keith Hartman, you may have the floor, sir.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I moved here 15 years ago from Seattle area. I moved here because my wife and I came through here and we liked the community, the small town effect of it. And that's why we moved here. I like to be part of the community. I'd just like to say shortly, I've witnessed different communities that I've lived in, different states, and that has grown properly. And forgive me,
it's okay.
They have grown a lot. And with growth comes issues, and we all know what they are. Since I've been here in 15 years, I've noticed a lot of those issues coming up. And I believe, by opinion, that we are growing too fast. The many wrecks on Meridian Avenue, that's one factor of it. I've seen places that were wholesome grow into rotten. With growth and the issues comes gangs, drugs, traffic, taxation, many things like that that destroys the wholesome community. And I've seen it happen, and when it happens fast, and then it's too late. So I'd like to have the council members and who all is involved take that into consideration. I understand there's city politics and everything involved, and we may want more growth and more revenue. But at the same time, same thing that may destroy us. And I'd just like to state that I would like more control over growth. And one thing that, now see, I'm ignorant. I don't know a lot about the law and changing them. But I realize that the laws, the way they're written now, allow, I think I understand this, I may be wrong, allow not contractors, but the big people, that developers, to pay low impact fees. That in other states, they pay much more. So I'm thinking, well, we can have laws changed. I know that I've been told that you all are bound by the law to go along with this. But I've seen no councilmen tell people, we'll try to change the law. I don't know how to do that. I'm gonna try. I know that when I lived in the Seattle area, there was a citizen that really got involved in this, and he was able to have laws introduced to the state senators or congressmen, and he did do a lot of good. So I would just like to state that I oppose the massive growth that we've had. I've already recognized, since I've been here in 15 years, the growth and the issues that have came with it. So I'd like to go on record.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you
Keith,
very much.
If you get a chance, one of these days, swing by and we'll visit.
Yeah, great. Because like I say, I'm very ignorant. I haven't taken the time to do this. And I've had a stroke, so I can't really. My vocabulary is terrible.
And, no, you did fine. If you would, though, if you would just state your name and address for the record for the recording.
For the record, my name is Keith Hartman. I live at 1252 West Avalon Street here in CUNA.
Good. All right. Thank you much. I'll look forward to meeting with you.
Thank you.
All right. And that takes us to public hearings. Case number 2402AN, Troy.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. For the record, Troy Buchanan, Development Services, CUNA, Idaho, senior planner. The application before you this evening is strictly for annexation. 24-02-AN. If the developer or the landowner would like to pursue any kind of development in the future, they'd have to come back through the public hearing process. But tonight's public hearing is only about the annexation. They are requesting to annex 41.50 acres into the city limits, and they are seeking the R6 zone, which is the medium density residential. Staff has reviewed the proposed annexation for qualification and also with compliance with CUNA City Code, the future land use map, and Idaho State statutes, and finds that it does meet the requirements listed in those codes. Staff does recommend that if the council approves this application for annexation, that the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed out in the staff memo. The applicant is here this evening, and they do have a presentation, and I will be here for any questions that you might have.
All right, question for Troy? Yeah. All right, not yet.
Thank you, Troy. Thank you. You got it right the first time, Development Services.
It was 50-50,
yeah.
And I went really slow.
All right, yes, if the applicant would like to step forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
Kelly Black, Bailey Engineering, 1119 East State Street, Eagle, Idaho, 83616, representing Trilogy Development for Powderhorn. We are requesting, let me get to page two here. We are requesting annexation of Powderhorn. The subject site is 41.5 acres, located on the southeast corner of School Avenue and Mason Creek. The future land use map has this property designated as medium density residential. Surrounding land uses include medium density residential to the north, the east, and the south. Low density residential is designated on the county parcels to the west. We are requesting an R6 zoning district, which is a medium density zone. The subdivision to the north is zoned R6, and the subdivision to the south is zoned R4. Sites to the east and the west are county rural residential. I also have a few aerial views of the site that I wanted to show. This view looks north from Hubbard Road. You can see how the site includes land that will be the location of the future school avenue, which will connect Hubbard Road to Mason Creek Road. And here's another view of the site, and you can see the Denali Heights subdivision on the south. Right here. And then lastly, I just wanted to show this portion, which is the southern portion of the site where it connects to Hubbard Road. Next, I wanted to talk about schools and the mitigation provided by this developer. The developer has contributed two sites for use as future schools. In addition, the developer has donated funds to help with school programs. That is all I have. Thank you for your consideration of annexation and zoning of Powderhorn. I will stand for questions.
All right, questions?
Yes, ma'am. Sorry, Kelly Black. School programs, can you elaborate on that?
Yes, it was a cash donation. I believe it was used for the CTE program at Swan Falls High School.
CTE?
Yeah, the career technical.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, further questions?
No.
Yes, go ahead.
I know this is just an annexation, but I guess I have questions about the school road entrance off of Hubbard.
Yes.
I know for a fact that road's not very wide, and I see, and I know these PowerPoints are misleading, but it really looks like some of that road goes into the Denali subdivision.
Thank you for the question. Yes, when they overlay the color coding, it sort of gets skewed a bit, but the fence line is the boundary of the Denali Heights subdivision, and then to the west is the boundary for this property. And from there, we have 50 feet to work with. And so we have enough room to match up with the southern portion of School Avenue that's on the south of Hubbard Road. What we don't have is the landscape buffer that we would have at the
That's what I was going to ask. Are you going to go into perfect lane any, or is that?
We cannot go into perfect lane. It is a part of the CCNRs for that subdivision, the county subdivision.
Another question I have, and I know you do not control this, but looking at the site here, how many exit or egress, ingress, however you want to call it, are going to be on Mason Creek Road? I know you don't have a plat.
We on Mason Creek, we will have likely one to match up to what's on Silver Trails, that subdivision right there, if you can see where my mouse is. So it's likely that the road would align there, and then, of course, we'll have that alignment with School Avenue right there.
And the entrance exit, Yenlo, going into the Denali subdivision.
Yes.
I know you do not control that. That's all ACHD requirements. But I will say this. Our biggest complaints when it comes to developing subdivisions is pushing traffic from one new subdivision into another. It's a problem. And I know ACHD does not look at it that way. But I just wanted to get my 2 cents in. That becomes a problem.
Understood. Thank you. Yes, they will have exits onto Mason Creek Road. We will likely connect to Yenlo Avenue because they did stub the street there for that reason. But then there will be exits onto School Avenue as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything further for the applicant?
Not from me.
Okay. No. Thank you very much. All right, and this is a public hearing. I didn't have anybody sign up to testify in this matter. Is there anybody who wishes to sign up to testify? Okay. If you would step forward here and sign up on the sheet here. And one's in favor, neutral, and so isn't that nice? You get a pick. You have choices. don't worry about that. All right, very good.
Thank you for participating.
And then if you would, just state your name and address for the record there at the podium, and you may have the floor. And Michael, if you want to sign up, I'll let you go ahead and do that while he's...
My name is John Dime. I live at 2528 West Hubbard Road. On this picture, you can't see it. I'm at the very bottom left-hand side of that screen, right on the intersection of what's Perfect Lane and Hubbard Road. May I ask a question of the council, or is it just pure? What, as a city council, when you're looking at possible annexations and or various construction within the area, what do you consider when we're talking about housing development? What do you look for as to whether or not you're in favor of annexation and or changing the amount of houses per acre type stuff?
Well, so we have a future land use map that we have members of the community come in, and they sit on a committee doing the and decide on the future land use map what should go where. And we actually have a new committee in that's meeting now, updating that map. Those things are considered. And then the comprehensive plan we look at as to what's in there and what things are zoned and what's around it and that type of thing. So,
appreciate
so hopefully that's a short explanation, but yeah. Hopefully that helped.
I appreciate that. Thank you. As I said, I live right at the intersection of Hubbard and Perfect Lane. I find it interesting that the developer wants to put in a two-lane road up that brown strip that you see going up. That 50-foot is if you put your tape measure right at the fence of Denali, measure out 50 feet, it follows a line of power poles. I've been in on the meetings where the developer has presented this, and we asked them, so what are you going to do about the power? And their response was, we don't know. We'll leave that to Idaho Power. The question came up, they're going to put in 160-some homes, and that would be individual homes, I hope. And the question comes up, so those are all families? Excuse me. What do you do with the children in regards to schooling, going to a school that's already overfilled? Where do you go? What about the traffic? I don't know how many of you gentlemen have ever been around that school. When school gets out, it is a bottleneck and a concern of people trying to get onto 10 Mile Road. The access coming out on the south is a busy road. And I think you are probably aware, maybe a lot of you are not, come springtime, supposedly Hubbard Road is going to be torn up completely from 10 Mile to Meridian. And I have that on very strong knowledge, having talked with the representative from the Highway Department. They're going to take it right on down to nothingness and build it back up so that they have a good base. And they assured us we're only going to put in a two-lane road, except at Linder, where we will put in a left-turn lane. So, number one, in regards to the construction, if this development is annexed, where are you going to take the various trucks going in and out? You have a nice development in regards to Denali. A lot of this traffic is scheduled for that. To come out that subdivision.
Sir, you've reached your time. If you can wrap up your final comments.
Will do. Thank you. Look at that big irrigation ditch going right across it. They've made absolutely no plans for protection of children trying to swim across that ditch. No traffic can go out there. I would request of the council to deny the annexation, and especially even more so, to not change it from an R4 to an R6 if you do approve it. You can't handle it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Is sir. Is there anybody else that's going to want to testify?
Michael Rocco, 1286 East 40 Street in Kuna, Idaho. So the questions I have for the developer is how many phases? What's the projected population after the project is complete? What's the projected number of children that they will have once all these R6 are completed? I'd like to know what the cash amount was that was donated to, was it Swan Fall? Also, they talked about two donated sites. I'd like to know where those two donated sites are, approximate value of those two donated sites. I didn't have a chance to look at the packet, but I assume that they've looked at, there's going to be ACHD for traffic study, so I'm echoing what John was just talking about. You got the majority of schools that are overpopulated already. And does Trilogy have any other developments, or have they done any other business in the city of Kuna?
Okay, thank you. And then again, if you would just state your name and record for the address, and I'll let you even have your agenda back when you...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you. Tim Jensen with Kuna School District, 711 East Porter Street here in Kuna. And I just felt like I wanted to get up and confirm the donations that the developer has made to the school district with the cash and the land donations as well. I just want to make sure to give that confirmation to you guys as well. I'll stand for any questions.
Okay. Anybody have any questions?
Sir? No, sir. Kim?
Go ahead.
So reading the memo, there was a lot of really good information on that, but I didn't see a solid recommendation of for or against. I didn't see on the...
It's neutral.
Neutral?
Yeah, I just wanted to stand up and confirm what they had said. So, about the donation side of it.
So. And so, and then we can also confirm that although the levy passed with a 59% rate, to have a bond passed, which would affect building, requires a supermajority.
That is correct.
And there is none on the agenda, or at least there's none in the school district, or the school board hasn't proposed a bond anytime in the near future.
No, not at this time. No.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a question.
Yes?
And the current numbers are correct for the packet that we have in here? For the yes. school district?
Yeah. The numbers were updated as of, we do our official count on the fifth day of school, and during that time, all the schools are tasked with confirming, the actual enrollment of kids and dropping those. And as everybody knows, enrollment in schools isn't static. They move, we have kids moving in and out all through the year. And awesome. So, yeah.
Thank
so,
you.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yes, sir.
Those are just the numbers as of the fifth day of school. And so,
okay. So. This is the best layout I've seen so far of drawing it out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jensen.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right. Was there anybody else who wished to testify in this matter? If you want to sign up.
We'll waive the fee for you.
This is how I get my Christmas card list.
Okay, you better send
it. Nathan, make note of that with me, please.
All right. Respect them.
All right, that's good right there. Thank you very much.
My name is Ann Potter, and I live in that corner property there on the left, right at the very left. And I've been here for 20, how long here? 24. Oh, that's all. Okay, 20 plus. So, but when I moved in, it was just the rural properties, county properties there on the left. What, we had seven properties, and since then, all of this is coming around us. This last parcel was sold by the neighbor. But I would say you've got what I'd like to reiterate what John Dime said. You've got R4 right here, south, and you've got county property on the right, county property on the left, and I mean, it's going to get developed one way or another, but I certainly would like to see it kept at R4, which was the original development. And with the traffic, that's a concern, the traffic that's going to come out of Hubbard Road. I know the people from Denali Heights are probably concerned about that as well. That's the R4 development right there. So that's pretty much all I have to say. CUNA's getting crowded enough. I know you want the revenue. I know you like to see the progress. But many people moved here because of the rural flavor of the town. And so R4 is plenty. So that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll just make a note, since I've heard a couple people say it. The city doesn't need more revenue if we don't have growth. It doesn't do any of us any good to make more money for the city. So without the growth, we don't need it. So just so you know, that's not why we approve things. We don't do that for more revenue. Anyway, anybody else that wanted to testify? Okay? And if there's anybody after him, if you would sign on the sheet here so we can move this along. All right, and then if you would just state your name and address for the record, and you may have the floor.
I'm Randy Patterson. I'm at 2205 West Ricken Street, which is directly behind across Mason Creek, so my back fence looks into that property. Okay. I'm a long-term time resident of CUNA. I grew up on a farm just to the west of there, east of there, over on Linder, which is now covered with houses, again, covered with houses. My biggest concern about this development is the traffic. I see the traffic every day around that school. There's no out to get out except to go out to 10 Mile. You can't, of course, if they put it all the way through, you can come down to Hubbard. And I know they're working on a road to go out to Columbia. And even with those outlets, I'm afraid the traffic is going to be horrendous with that number of houses. And it's already bad. So I'd like to see some changes made to so that we could get traffic out, if that's what they decide to do, or maybe think about what we're doing. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Randy.
All right. Would the applicant like a chance for rebuttal?
Thank you. I just wanted to speak to a few things that were brought up. Again, this is annexation at this point and zoning, so we are looking for the R6. A lot of the things that were brought up, the phasing, the traffic, the canal, and School Avenue and the design of that will be worked through with preliminary plat and included in that application. We'll submit a traffic impact study, ACHD, and the city will review that. And with regard to School Avenue, we will work with them on the design for that because, of course, they are the driver of how that looks. Let's see. With the school, I did want to speak to that a little bit. The levy did pass, which is great. You know, I think if you've seen the board meetings, there was a lot of community involvement, a lot of advocacy efforts put into play that played a key role in this. And I think that the momentum from this and the continued community involvement will assist in the passage of the next bond. Both the community and the board are working very hard to get the next bond passed, which is the way the state of Idaho funds schools. In addition, the district has said in their letter that they do have a couple of ways to mitigate capacity, including busing students and then, of course, passing the bond. And again, the district is really working diligently in addressing capacity, and I do think they're doing a really great job. And the developer has been working with the school district. As mentioned, the development team provided mitigation with the two school sites, as well as the funds for the school program, and that saves the taxpayers $3.7 million. And with regard to the zoning, R6 is a really good zoning for the site. It's sort of sandwiched between R4 and R6, so it makes sense to put R6 right there so that you can sort of transition up to the north where we have R6 currently. And with that, I'll stand for questions.
All right. Questions for the applicant?
I do.
Yes.
So were the, in regards to the schools, were the mitigation and the school sites for the previous development?
I don't know when they were donated. I think that would be something we could ask the school district. But it's been an effort that they work on continuously.
Over through the developments that they've had?
Yeah, through all of their developments. They continue to work with the MES partners.
Thank you.
Anything further? Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the question is rightfully before council.
I make a motion that we close evidence presentation and move to deliberation.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
You have anything?
Well, I have a lot of things.
You want to start?
Well, we'll say it's been said ad nauseum for the last several, years, months. Schools can't keep up with capacity. That memo that we got from the school district lays it right out, those numbers. And as much as we appreciate things that they try to do to mitigate, there is no bond in our future. If you talk to anybody that I talk to, constituents on the street, the especially just passing a levy, right, I guess adding taxes there, the temperature for a bond probably isn't that good, especially to meet the supermajority threshold. So I'm really, really concerned about, I know this is just annexation, but it's going to be with the total intent of putting, as CUNA City Code says, 58-103, undue strain on services, not so much on the city services, but on the schools. Because I can't look at these numbers all in the red, from 122% to 329% across certain schools in CUNA, not to mention Silver Trail is already at 106% capacity.
Currently.
What's that?
That's currently.
Yes, currently at 106. It's only going to be more. So I have reservations as far as that goes. Traffic, we don't have the study, but we all know that it's going to add to traffic. ACHD generally goes by whatever, as long as it meets the absolute minimums. But we know traffic's already bad enough, especially around Silver Trail. If you drive by there in the afternoons and in the mornings, it'll increase, especially if you have another way to go to try to come through a subdivision to get out to Hubbard. And I think that's all I have for now.
Okay.
Do you have any
member Larway?
I will add to some of that dilemma. I know the schools are at capacity now. We all know that. But there's also a subdivision that's just a little bit to the north across from the high school that's already starting to be developed. So those houses are going to come into play. And I'm assuming, now the school district could correct me, but I'm assuming that those children will be going to Silver Trails. I doubt if you're going to bus them all the way to Reed. Just curious. The school's always going to be our concern. I won't walk away from that responsibility. But I am all concerned about, like we talked about at the beginning, the biggest problem we have when we approve subdivisions, traffic. And possibly they're going to go down to school, possibly they're going to go out on Mason Creek, but I don't understand why ACHD figures we have to shuttle traffic into another subdivision to get out. It makes no sense to me. And I know that's their policy, but it's not a good practice, especially when they put that in our lap and they expect us to be somewhat cognizant of what we're approving and what we're denying. I do not disagree with that section being an R4. The transition you were referring to could be also the transition from R4 to R6 across from Mason Creek. That's R6. I'm looking at this and I really just, School Street has me worried because I just do not believe there's enough road there without them taking out the sidewalk. I just don't see it. That's my 2 cents.
Okay. Further?
Do you have anything?
Same song and dance. Schools, yeah. Roads, you know. This is the point at which we can control it, yay or nay, yeah. Which we know. I guess my hesitation would be, you know, we hear, oh, we're just annexing it now. We don't know when, and then 3 weeks from now it'll be coming through.
That's what I was
on a fast-moving train, you know.
Yeah.
So it's where are we at with? We know schools are capacity, roads are horrible and going to be under more construction, and that makes it even worse. And then, you know, sewer capacity plays in there somewhere on down the line, which we don't have to really think about till then per se, but we do.
Yeah.
We need to think about that now. So,
well,
all the same things to consider.
I agree. This obviously the capacity of schools, even right now, much less with everything that's already outstanding. The trips, it'll add 1,138 trips a day per the traffic report that we have in the file. Coming down that road in Hubbard, which is already which is already a nightmare. And then also once we annex a property, we're handcuffed. We've been sitting up here before, and that's where we've been. So this is our chance to deny it, and we can look at it down the road.
Somebody with more brains than me, didn't we just hear in, I believe it was the Napa Valley one, that they were going to have to widen Hubbard to 3 full lanes all the way through, or 5 lanes or something? That one of the gentlemen talked about widening part of it, or just adding a turn lane and redoing it. But didn't they, wasn't it 10-mile clear to Meridian Road they had to
Something? Just so we know, I've spoken with ACHD, and they are going to redo Hubbard from 10 Mile to Meridian in 2025. They are not increasing the size of it. So basically, we got a 2-lane road.
So,
except for the Linder intersection, which is going
to
be
right turn lanes on it. But I thought that development had to widen it.
Which development?
The Napa Valley one at Hubbard and Meridian Road.
Right. Well, and there could be a variance between their 5-year plan and what development is required.
Yeah, your 5-year plan might have that, but I know when I spoke to ACHD, they are not increasing.
Wait. I know.
Right, they would be speaking to the 5-year plan, ACHD. Yeah,
yeah. They'll redo it now, and then when the development tries to happen, they'll make them redo it again.
Yeah, we're going to do a new road and then cut it up.
They'll redo it so they can redo it again. That's what will happen.
Okay.
And they'll close everything around it while they do it.
Yes.
So for me, that's kind of where I stand. So I'll make a motion to deny case number 24-02-AN.
Second. All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on that motion?
Second.
Yeah, you already seconded it. Something's going off on
all
you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Can I, wait a minute.
Oh, wait.
My ears were going off. What was the motion?
I made a motion to deny it. He seconded it.
Thank you.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? And That motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Jared.
And that takes us to business items, item 7A, budget presentation, Jared Empey.
Good evening, Mayor and Council, Jared Empey, City Treasurer. Before you, I have year-end budget recap for fiscal 2024 that ended on September 30th, 2024. So the first page that you see is just our combined cash statement. So you can see this is kind of our liquid balance sheet. As you can see, the different bank accounts and investment accounts that the city had on September 30th and how it's allocated by fund. As you can see, the total cash and investments totals $75 million, approximately $76 million. And as you can see, it's allocated below to each fund. The general fund currently at year end had $20,700,000. The latecomer fund had about $6 million. Water fund had 14.7 million rather. And sewer fund had $18.8 million. And the irrigation fund had $9.5 million, and then the rest of the funds are kind of minor funds. So I'm very pleased with the cash position and the liquidity that the city currently has. Then the next statement is essentially an income statement summary. So as you can see, in accounting, we try and have different bases of accounting, meaning we like to look at when we earned money at different times. So as you can see, we have a budget basis. So in other words, when I do a budget update, this is the basis that I'm presenting it on. And then in the next column is a modified accrual basis. So at year end, I compute depreciation and make adjustments for those depreciation calculations. And so that's the difference there. However, those depreciation adjustments are only for proprietary fund. So that would be the water, the sewer, irrigation for fiscal 2024. And as you can see, under both bases of accounting, the city's doing well financially, and which bodes well for the future, especially since year end we had $147 million in assets. That's the historical value. Unfortunately, under United States accounting standards, we don't adjust those for fair market value adjustments. Instead, we carry those at historical value. So if something's 40 years old and it should be five times that, we don't make adjustments for that. So if we do a rough adjustment, we probably have about $250 million in assets. And if we have approximately $76 million in cash, that means we have approximately a 30% coverage ratio, which is very good so that we can avoid bonding for future repairs that will necessarily need to be done. So because eventually infrastructure wears out or needs replaced. So I think we're in a very good financial position in that way. Then on the final sheets, we have the detail for the budgetary basis. As I said before, I think that each fund is operating in a healthy manner. We had a few misses that were outside our control, such as state liquor distribution came in a little low. And the sales tax revenue came in a little low. However, everything else went very well in regards to development income and other items within the general fund. And let's see, some other highlights. The latecomers fund. So we still have approximately I want to say $6 million in obligations for improvements that developers have made. And given that we had approximately $6 million in cash in the latecomers fund, that means that we are appropriately setting aside funds to retire those obligations. And the water and sewer fund, we see positive trends in our user base. This morning, I noted in our director meeting that we have 11,200 accounts in our that have a water account. In other words, accounts that have a water meter attached to it. This is a positive trend in growth base that should be able to maintain maintain a positive depreciation sinking fund for future asset replacement, as well as in the sewer fund. And I see positive trends also in the irrigation fund and for the rest of the major proprietary funds. The other proprietary funds that you see that may be new are the Water East and the Sewer East. Those were the funds that were created as part of the donation that META provided. We didn't actually take control of those assets until October 2nd of this fiscal year, of fiscal 2025. However, we had to buy some IT equipment in order to place out at our water ops building out there, and so that's why there's those small expenses there. But other than that, everything seems to be in a very positive direction, and I'm pleased with the financial results. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Okay, question for Jared. I just want to say I appreciate the fact that we're moving an upward trend. We do have, with a lot of aging infrastructure, there's a lot of projects that are going to be coming up that need taken care of, and those are a little difficult to go out and bond for. Plus, these projects, they already cost double what they should, and then if you have to bond for them, there's interest on top of that. They cost double again, and I think it's just bad use of taxpayer funds not to be able just to take care of the systems that we have. So I think we're doing a good thing there. Saves us a lot of money, and we don't have to worry about it. As we see things that are deteriorating, we can just go after them and get them. So very appreciative of that. So anybody else have any questions for Jared?
No, sir. Thank you, Mr. Jared.
Take the rest of the night off.
I have one general question. As far as it goes, and this might be an HR and a Jared question, but as far as, like, staff salaries and stuff like that, how often does that go up for renewal? I mean, I imagine there's, like, a COLA increase or a normal increase, but does the city council normally review that?
Normally those come at budget time. That's when we talk about COLA increases and things like that, is during the budget season. And Jared does an analysis on what cost of living increases are and that type of thing. So each year during the project budget process is when we discuss those things.
Didn't you have staff research increases for your city council? You know, we had to do it 45 days before the election or something.
Yeah, I think we spoke about that. That was before any election. But this is, he's actually talking about staff here, like staff on the payroll, like parks. Or he's not talking about council. He's talking about staff. Yeah.
That's why I was wondering if that was included.
Yeah, in order to look at raises for elected officials, those have to come right before an election. Otherwise, mayors and council members could give themselves a pay increase right after they're elected. So the timing of that is controlled by the legislature. But
I just didn't know if that was in our budget.
Thank you, Mr. Jared.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Mayor, I just wanted to make note that it is listed as an action item, but that's just a clerical error. It was just a presentation. Oh. So just making note for the record.
All right.
The next business item is an action item. Consideration to approve the resolution R73-2024, approving the Avalon and K award to Knife River Corporation Mountain West. Morgan.
Glad to see this one.
Yeah, that's why we amended the agenda, was I didn't want to wait any more on this to happen.
Well, thank you, Mayor and Council, and the mayor kind of stole my thunder on this one. The reason you didn't see it come through the consent agenda like you normally would on this kind of thing is because we did get the signed contract from Knife River back a day after, so we wanted to amend the agenda so we didn't have the next step, which is construction scheduling, wait another 2 weeks before we had a signed contract. So this is just the approval of the bid, the signing of the contract. We'll get that back to Keller and to our construction manager and get going on putting a schedule together for this one to get it rocking and rolling.
That's great. I get asked that question every time I walk into the post office or Walgreens or Latte Da or out, well, anywhere over there.
Stop walking.
The last remaining thing that I heard was that it was a not eminent domain, but wasn't one of the owners had a problem, I guess, but I guess they're all good with that now?
Councilman Biggs, we do have to do a little bit of a right-of-way acquisition on this one, and that is moving through the process concurrently. We just have to get, due to the nature of where the property is owner at with the deed, we have to set up a reconveyance, and there's lots of steps for paperwork for that. So by the time it's constructed, the entire right-of-way can be dedicated back to its ACHD on that corner. So,
okay. Thank you.
Well, I want to give a special thanks to staff, everybody that's had a hand in this. This has been a very long and drawn-out process. As you know, we have ITD and ACHD working on the same project, and because of that, it became a city project, so we had to take control of that. I think Morgan's done a great job of carrying that on through, clerk's office for helping to get these bids out and that type of thing. So
I think
it's actually just welcome news to finally actually be able to put a finish line on something.
I think this was the first thing I asked about when I got elected.
This has been going on.
I wanted
that done before the post office opened in there, but shows how much pull I got.
I was following a car one day, and the car went airborne in front of me at that intersection, a Jeep and a Ford Fusion. That was interesting. Everyone was okay, though.
Thank you, guys, staff, and everyone that's moved this forward. I make a motion we approve R73-2024.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval of R73-2024. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. And that takes us to ordinances. Consideration to approve ordinance 2024-41, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors DB Development LLC and declaring water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, and directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the Boise-CUNA Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map, and providing an effective date.
Make a motion that we waive three readings of ordinance 2024-41.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
I make a motion that we approve ordinance 2024-41 as published.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval of the ordinance. Is there any further discussion on that motion? Nathan, would you poll the council, please?
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That takes us to consideration to approve ordinance 2024-42. ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA, making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors DB Development LLC, and declaring water rights pertinent thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, and directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the Nampa Meridian Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map, and providing an effective date.
Make a motion that we waive three readings of ordinance 2024-42.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
Make a motion that we approve ordinance 2024-42 as published.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval of the ordinance. Is there any further discussion on that motion? Nathan, would you poll the council?
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Yes.
And that motion carries. And that takes us to an executive session under Title 74206E.
Who do we need?
And who do we need? Morgan and Doug. And Mark.
Yes, and Bobby.
And Bobby.
He has to stay finally.
Mark. Anyone else? That's it.
Nancy, Jared. Let's just have
him. I make a motion that we adjourn to executive session, Title 74-206E.
Second.
Morgan, Doug, Bobby, and Mark.
Motion's made and seconded. We need to poll council on this one.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Yes.
And that motion carries.
I gotta hit the head real quick. Hey, you're fine.